Well, good morning, everyone. While Valerie plays through a couple of verses for us, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts for serving the Lord together in worship. Good to have Judy's brother and sister-in-law, if I got that right, visiting with us, and get to meet Dan and his wife, everybody. It's good to gather together. Let's open our songbooks to number 13, Bow the Knee.
Privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember he is in bow the knee.
Joshua, when we sing songs like Stand Up for Jesus, I often say stand, or standing on the promises instead of sitting on the premises, you know, that kind of thing. I wish we could all physically sing that song, Bowing the Knee. I realize that's not the case for many here, but we can with our hearts. He deserves our worship, and worship is not some exciting entertainment like some do. To truly worship him, though, should excite our souls. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and pray together. Father God, I realize you are worthy of all our worship. In your righteousness, you're set apart from all mankind and the rest of creation. In your holiness, you are perfect in every attribute. Father God, in your love for us, it's unsurpassed. You have reached down to undeserving creatures like us and provided for us salvation through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for us, who died, was buried, but rose again victorious over the grave. You are the one who has given us your grace. And Father, we thank you for that. I ask you that if there's anyone here that hasn't yet received that grace that you offer, that today would be the day they do, that they would make that decision their own and make it personal between themselves and you. And Father God, we ask you that you would guide in every aspect of this service, that as we bow our hearts before you right now, it wouldn't be just this hour that we sing together and open the scriptures together and fellowship together and pray together like we are right now. And in the giving of a portion of what you have entrusted to us, it's also a form of worship. And Father, I ask you that we would leave this place still worshiping you, and throughout the week ahead, worship you every day. You deserve that. You are in every way worthy of our worship, and we thank you for that, Father God. I ask you, too, that if there's special needs among us, that you would meet them today and in the days ahead. Lord God, I thank you for this time together, that you've brought us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to ask Joshua to come at this time and give us a quick update about what he observed out at Lake Plain Baptist Bible Camp last week. He was one of the counselors for junior boys. No, I've said that wrong. Nope, not junior boys, for the senior high camp. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. It was a wonderful week out there. We had a lot of teens. We had 60 total, around 60 total teens there with us. So it was a big camp for me. I think it was around 40, 45 last year. So we're just praising the Lord for those who did show up. The focus this week was to aim high, choosing a higher purpose of life in Christ. Pastor Andrew Solarik from Chisago Lakes, Minnesota, or as he says it, Minnesota, I appreciate that, came to do the bulk of the chapel teaching. The evening chapels was to aim high in our friends, our prayer and Bible study, and our Christian life. And in the morning, he had worldview classes where he walked through, what does a Christian worldview look like? What does worldview mean? And then he also compared Christianity's worldview to the Islam worldview. It was very interesting to walk through that. We did have a missionary there. You guys may recognize the name Barry Farlow. He's helping us in our sound and audiovisual stuff here for our church. And he also came up on Wednesday, and a lot of you got to meet him on Wednesday. His first and second chapels that he did, the missions chapels, were done just before lunch in the morning. So we had, I believe, four of them, if I remember correctly, four or five of them. And so the first couple were on Brazilian culture. He's a missionary to Brazil. And the last few chapels were focused on the end times, fitting for the teen mind. It was quite interesting to walk through that and to see what we're learning about in Sunday school here as Brother Allen walks through a more in-depth view of what was talked about last week. So the kids had a lot of fun. We didn't have any major injuries, thankfully. There's a few cuts and scrapes, a few bruises. I've got a spot on my chest about the size of an 18-year-old's hand from Russian soccer. If you want to know what that is, come talk to me afterwards. But he basically gave a football straight arm block that wasn't exactly straight and had a little bit of a kick to it, if I can put it that way. So I'm recovering from that minor injury, and there was also an injury to someone's ankle during that game. It's a very rough and tumble game, and I was glad to be able to participate, even though I feel old. So many decisions were made, and so we're praising the Lord for that. Two of my campers, the campers that I worked with closely, made decisions. One was assurance of salvation and focus on prayer and Bible study. And the other was based on friends. And we did talk about circle of friends. If you'd like to hear the different types of circles, come talk to me afterwards. I'd be glad to explain to you Pastor Andrew's version of that. The main takeaway for me was Bible time and prayer, Bible study and prayer. And Pastor Solaric really focused on four main things that need to be used to really have a consistent Bible study and prayer time. And that was that there needed to be a specific time, a specific place, a specific plan, and specific materials that you use. So thank you very much, Pastor, for letting me share that.
Specific materials. I guess the Bible ought to be one of them.
Bible,
thank
pen,
you.
Paper. Those are my three right now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Joshua, for sharing that. God has used Lake Blaine Baptist Bible Camp in the lives of many. My dear wife trusted Jesus Christ as Savior when she was younger out there at Lake Blaine Baptist Bible Camp, and we're thankful for that. This week is Junior Girls Week, and so pray for the staff and the girls and that God will work among them as well. At this time, I guess I will go ahead and ask Joshua to lead us in 143. Be Thou My Vision is the title of the song. And after that, I'd like to ask the men to come and receive the offering right away.
Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence.
Let's take up our Bibles, open them to Psalm 97. Please stand for our scripture reading, and Tom, you lead us.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and their thoughts are very deep. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've made it to 1 Thessalonians 4 in our study through this great epistle in the New Testament. Yesterday, a few guys from our church went on a hike in Ten Lakes. And I don't know how they fared other than some of the pictures I saw. It looked like a great time. Others of you take a walk along the Riverwalk here in Eureka. Several of you have done that. There are trails for the public to use in Indian Springs Golf Course. I don't know if you knew that, but there are. And yeah, then there are our golfers, like Ken, who likes to walk the course and not take a cart. Monty Lovell, one of our missionaries, an evangelist, and I have gone on several hikes and walks together, always takes his walking sticks with him. Do any of you have walking sticks that you use regularly? Some do. Or trekking poles. Some people call them trekking poles. When we were in New Zealand for a short time helping the Brammers, people didn't take walks or hikes. It was trekking everything. They had trekking shoes, trekking clothes, trekking sticks. Everything was trekking. I was given a special gift last Christmas by my dear wife, and Sean Janung helped her with it. It's this really cool walking stick. Wow, it is so cool. It instantly adjusts to whatever height I want. Isn't that neat? Some of you know why there's a yoke in the top. At any rate, it's a cool walking stick, and I look forward to using that. I actually haven't yet. I have to soon. Some of you have carved walking sticks for others. Have you ever seen Tad's amazing corkscrew twisted sticks that he's made? They're really cool, you guys. You've got to ask Tad to see his walking sticks. And Trudy carries one almost all the time. So watch out for Trudy. She's got a walking stick, too. We wouldn't want you to face any personal injury or whatever. You know, it's a good thing, though. Many people like to take walks. That's a good thing. There are many benefits to that. I'm not talking so much about the physical, even. Some have a quiet time with the Lord when they take a walk. I hope you do. Others, like Juanetta and me, like to be together and spend some quiet time together and talk together and pray when we go out together on a walk. One thing about Montana, most people carry just in case. That's a little different than other places. And, of course, our adversary here we would think of more often as a bear, but really we have an adversary out there who's on our tail. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, at any rate, there's a little plug for taking a walk. Related to this is our first steps. Everybody in this room has taken first steps at one time or another. Parents and grandparents are especially interested in our little ones learning to walk. Several of us have special memories of that. Jason, our son, surprised us when he started walking one day. And when we saw him, boom, he went right down. He didn't want us to see him walking. That was a secret. If we tried to ask him to walk on command for somebody else, he would not do it. He wouldn't walk on command. He chose the moment. Not me, not Mom. He chose the moment. I'm amazed by little Blake and that he's walking. That touches my heart. That guy is cool. The Christian life begins with a step. The Christian life begins with a step of faith, doesn't it? It really does. Faith in Jesus Christ. But that step leads the believer to a walk of faith. And that's the way it should be. For we walk by faith, not by sight, says our Bibles in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walking suggests progress, doesn't it? We don't walk backwards very often, but that happens, I guess. The idea is progress, and we must make progress in the Christian life. That's the point of our passage today. I hope that we are all making progress in our walk with the Lord, and we can look over our shoulder and say, I might be going slowly, but at least I'm not back where I once was. We need to be making progress in our walk with the Lord. So, how should we walk? Let's ask God to guide our steps as we look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we realize you are the one that has helped us all along the way. Each step that we seem to take, somehow you're part of that. You correct us when we go the wrong way. You guide us in the right way. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that shows us many details of the walk that is before us, the walk that we should take to bring honor and glory to you. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, that as we consider 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at least the first few verses today, that you will guide us in this journey, that our walk would be pleasing in your sight, that we would walk with Jesus Christ, who is the perfect guide, who will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, if there's someone here who hasn't accepted him as their Savior, certainly they're not able to walk with him. Father, I ask you that they would make that decision personal and real today and begin a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, taking that first step of faith. Father God, we love you and thank you that we can follow you, knowing that your way is good and right always. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how we ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Here we learn that we should walk to please God. There's a little outline on the back of your bulletin, and that would be the first point. Walk to please God. Paul emphasizes this verse, or emphasizes in this verse, our walk must always be in the right direction, a direction that pleases God. It seems obvious, but we need to learn that. We need to make it real for us. A lot of people... Now, let me ask the question. Do you know anyone who has ever walked in the wrong direction? You don't have to raise your hands. Sure, we all have. We know someone, maybe it's myself, that have walked in the wrong direction, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. I remember an unintentional one. My cousin Bob and I were on top of a ridge up the Ball Creek drainage near the north end of the Bob Marshall Wilderness, archery hunting elk one day. And I was in the lead. Late in the day, I turned to head toward the pickup, and Bob asked me those words I can remember the way it sounded. Where do you think you're going? Well, I said, back to the pickup. He said, the pickup's right down there. You can see it. And I was going that direction. Somehow, I unintentionally went the wrong day, and wow, was I embarrassed. However, sometimes people intentionally choose to go the wrong way, don't they? They take a route that goes past a bar where they want to stop just for a few. They know the way to that dispensary doesn't please God, but they choose it anyway. They don't think they're hooked on pot, but addictions are the way that trail leads. I've done enough with our local law enforcement to know that there are two distinct elements in our community. Those who are out at night and those who are out during daytime, during the light. Some are out in the dark and some are out in the light. And our Bibles speak a lot about walking in the light, not in darkness. Psalm 56, verse 13 was written by King David. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Isaiah wrote this. Isaiah 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. John wrote this, the Apostle John, in 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, referring to Jesus Christ, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Excuse me. Cleanses us from all sin. Well, you get the point. We are to walk in this Christian life to please God. That's the point of all of that. Walk with Christ and please God. That is why Paul starts with the word furthermore then in verse 1. Furthermore then. I don't know if you saw that. What do you mean furthermore then? Why is that important? Well, it refers back to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints, the previous verse. That's what it means. I'll read the previous verse, of course. To the end he may establish your hearts in unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, then, referring back to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints and our living in holiness. Remember, last week, the emphasis was on being ready when Christ comes again. That was the emphasis in chapter 3 at the end of that chapter. Now, we have a furthermore then. We beseech you. When these words are used in the Bible together, furthermore, we beseech you, the idea is like this. That's not all. Pay attention to this. That's a paraphrase. That's a Matt paraphrase. Anyway, pay attention to what? The word beseech is pay attention. Well, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, the highest authority. Jesus is the highest authority to walk to please God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Everybody lives to please someone. Many live to please themselves. When we were kids, well, all kids start out that way. Let me say that. All kids start out that way, basically. But when we were teenagers, let's say, there were popular song lyrics, and some of you will nod your heads. You can't please everyone, so you have to please yourself. Remember those? That philosophy wasn't new back in the 1970s, but it bred a generation of self-esteem and putting number one first. That's what it bred. And that has harmed society. The Bible says in Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not about pleasing me. It's about pleasing him. I hope you get that. Verse 2, Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, and he was God, I'll add. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fall on me. Then Paul says, so ye would abound more and more. The same Greek word for abound is also increase in verse 10, where it's at the end of the verse it says that ye increase more and more. That's the same word. The teaching is the more we please God, the more we increase in a pleasing walk with him. Okay, it goes together. It's a win-win deal. The more we please God, the more we increase in a pleasing walk with him. And it pleases us. It's a win-win thing. That's the best deal, if you will. Then verses 2 and 3 tell us more. The Christian should walk to obey God. We should walk to please God. Secondly, we should walk to obey God. Verse 2 speaks of commandments. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Those commandments were given the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy, who is in reference in the context here, the commandments to pass on to the believers in Thessalonica. What commandments? The Ten Commandments? Was there ever a human other than Jesus himself that kept all Ten Commandments? No. No one ever has kept all Ten Commandments. What does that show all of us, even about the Ten? There's more than that, but what does not being able to keep the Ten Commandments show all of us? That no one is good enough to earn their own salvation. None of us can do that. For one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says Romans 6, verse 23. These commandments referred to here are New Testament commandments, which include some of the ten. But did you know there are 253 New Testament commands? I've never taken the time to try to count them. Some of them, by the way, in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, there's 22 New Testament commandments. They not only deal with do's and don'ts, these New Testament commandments, in a way, are on a higher plane than the thou shalt not and the thou shalt of the Ten Commandments. And I don't like to say that because all Scripture is equally inspired by God, all of it. What do I mean when I say that the New Testament commandments are maybe on a higher plane? Here it is. They not only deal with do's and don'ts, but the thoughts, the motives, the intents of our hearts. New Testament commandments deal with that. That is a lot harder to deal with than a checklist, isn't it? They deal with unconditional love. That's against human nature, but it's God's nature. And they deal with esteeming others better than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2. Like I said, there are 22 commandments found in the next chapter in 1 Thessalonians. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said it this way. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It deals with our hearts. New Testament commandments maybe are tough because they deal with the things unseen. The Lord wants us to walk in obedience to him. First, to please him. Secondly, in obedience to him. Then verse 3 tells us this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So many people are trying to find out the will of God for this or that in their lives, and that's good. But if they would read their Bible, it tells of God's will for us in so many cases. Right here, it says so. In chapter 5, it tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's word tells us what God's will is. So if you're wondering about what God's will for you, for this or that is, look in the Bible. You might just find the answer. It tells of God's will for us. If we do that, then the other questions about life, the other questions in life, are usually answered automatically, if you will. Our sanctification. Okay. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification is hagiosmos in the Greek. It comes from the root hagios, and that is usually translated holy. We see hagiosmos down in verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's hagiosmos, that's sanctification in verse 3. God desires that the Christian should walk in holiness, and that's the title that I put to the sermon today. It is God's will for you and for me. It's God's will that you walk in holiness. Sanctification is a wonderful word. It's one that you don't hear about in modern American English very often, but it is a great word that we find in our Bibles. It's a wonderful word. It does not simply refer to a sinless state. We cannot achieve that on our own, by the way. We cannot achieve a sinless state on our own. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that. But it rather means that we have been set apart unto God. From something to something. From the world to God. That's the idea of sanctification. The very moment a lost sinner receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, his sins are forgiven and he is accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. No one will ever be more saved than at the moment we put trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. You're saved eternally. You'll never be more saved than that. You're set apart unto God. We are not accepted in the beloved because of who we are. Actually, contrary to who we are. We're not accepted because of who we are, but because of what Christ has done for us. And we've received that by faith. We are positionally set apart unto God forever. I didn't hear any amens. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're positionally set apart unto God forever.
Amen.
I don't often demand that, but I wanted to make a point. In the Bible, there's another use of hagiosmos, and that is the facet of salvation that requires our diligence. Okay, Christ did it. We're positionally set apart unto him forever. We're sanctified in that sense. But there is a facet to sanctification that requires our diligence, every one of us in this room. Some call that practical sanctification. We're positionally sanctified, but are we practically sanctified each hour, each day, each week, each month and year here on earth? We Christians are to be set apart from the world and set apart unto God every day. And that takes our diligence. He's done his part. How about me and you? We will never be perfect as long as we're in these bodies with our old sinful flesh. But day by day, we must be set apart unto God. Will you determine to obey him every minute today? You can make that decision, and you can follow through. Obey him every minute today. Will you be set apart unto him? It is his will for you. Our verse says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants you to put behind you the things that would drag you down and look to him, turn to him, set apart, be set apart unto him. We'll One of the difficulties in Thessalonica, as is a problem in America today, is that people do not abstain from fornication. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Fornication is that ugly word that takes in any form of sexual immorality. From what is practiced or imagined, from adultery to homosexuality, any form. Why do we have to deal with this stuff? Why are there many who claim to be transitioning from one gender to another, or to one of over 100 gender possibilities, they say nowadays? We all know that's not real, for crying out loud. But we deal with it. Why do I have to read a book like this from Danny Shelton? I know it's a booklet. Can the Christian church affirm LGBTQ+? Question mark. No, we can't. But why do we have to deal with that? Because, as was the case in Thessalonica, many don't abstain from fornication or sexual immorality. That's why. Here's another reason. Because people are ho-hum about it. Even Christians are ho-hum about it. And do not abstain from sexual immorality. But dear friend, Christian believers must abstain from fornication. That includes me as well as you. It is God's will. It is part of your daily sanctification. It grieves genuine Christians. And it must have grieved Paul. But there is really good news, dear Christian. Someday we will be delivered and free from all that baggage. I'm glad for that. Our same Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 7, verses 22 through 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You can delight in this too. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who shall deliver us from the body of this death and this corrupted, immoral culture that is surrounding us, the world that we're to be set apart from unto God. Jesus Christ, day by day, walk with him. That's God's design for us. And someday when we're in his presence, once we're absent from this body and present with the Lord, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, our sanctification will finally be perfectly realized. It will be complete and perfect. Theologians call this future aspect perfect sanctification. We won't have to deal with all that stuff anymore. Praise God. Our focus will be Jesus Christ. We'll see him face to face someday, if you know him as your Savior. What a day that will be. At my funeral, I want that song sung. What a day that will be. In the meantime, God has given us the ability to walk in holiness. Only in Christ. We can't do it on our own. None of us have that strength, that ability. My wife's life verse is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me read it this way. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4, verse 13. There's an old saying, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I see several nods. It would be easy for me to stumble over that, but praise God, I didn't stumble this time. That may be so. Our walk may talk louder than our talk, but God wants our walk and our talk to please Him in obedience. Every step we take and every word we say, not just one or the other. Next week, we'll look at points 3 and 4. That's my plan anyway. We'll see how God leads in that, but I think we better leave it here for today. It may be you have a decision to make to separate yourself from the things of the world that so easily drag you down. I know that I personally, each morning, ask God's help in that, and by His grace, often there's victory. You can have that. I want that for me as well as you. But maybe there's a serious matter that needs to be given to Christ and abstained from in your life. I don't know what that may be. In fact, God knows your heart better than you do. Whatever He places before you to take care of today, you take care of that seriously with Him. Commit it to Him. A humble and a contrite heart, David wrote, God will not despise. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this few verses that we looked at today and the way the shoe leather meets the walk of life in this case. The rubber meets the road. Father God, I ask You that You would help us in our walk with You, that we know it's Your will to be set apart from, to be sanctified day by day, the things of this world, and set apart unto You. Father, I realize that may take every minute a conscious thought of that, or a prayer, a silent prayer maybe, but Father God, I ask You that You would enable us to do that, that we would bring honor and glory to You, that we would be used of You to advance Your cause in this world that is so contrary to You. Father God, I ask You that You would help us. We need Your help. We can't do it in our own strength, and we know that. But I thank You that all good things can be accomplished through the strength that You offer us if we'll only implement that into our lives. Father God, I ask You that that would be the case in each one's heart today. If there's a matter that needs to be cleared up in anyone's life today, Father God, I ask You that they would make sure and do that between 678, trusting Jesus, 678.